Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The word of God to which we direct our attention today is our gospel reading from Mark chapter 10. You may be seated. A good treasure hunt is always an exciting thing, isn't it? I really like scavenger hunts and treasure hunts and thinking about what might be on the end, what treasure might lie ahead. But even more than actually accomplishing and finding the treasure at the end is the journey, right? Is following the clues, is being able to crack the code. I just love those sorts of things. And I love those sorts of books and movies. There's so many of them, obviously, that you've seen, I'm sure, which has grabbed your attention because the plot is about finding some sort of treasure and the journey to get there. And of course, you have to stay on the right path. You have to keep your eyes on the goal. You have to follow the right clues. And ultimately, I think, follow the one who's leading you to the treasure. In today's gospel reading, it ends with Jesus exhorting the rich young man to come follow me, and you will find treasure in heaven. And it would serve us well to heed that same exhortation. Follow Jesus to the treasure that awaits in heaven. Now, this account of the rich young man is one of idolatry, it's one of repentance, and it's one of faith. In reality, though, it really is a sad account of a man whose faith we're ultimately unsure of in the end, even though Jesus has lovingly called him to repentance. What we find here is a scripture that's powerful for us as we recognize that Jesus is offering to us the map to find this treasure. He's leading us down this path to the realization that in his great love for us, this treasure of eternal life is ours. And as much as it might seem like it here in this reading that we had for today, it's not about what we're doing. It's not about what we've done. It's about what God has done for us. Now, this account here is recorded in three different Gospels. It's recorded in Matthew and Mark and in Luke. And each of those Gospel writers gives us just a little bit more detail about this man who's interacting with Jesus. Luke tells us that he was a ruler, probably meaning that he was a leader in his local synagogue. Matthew tells us that he was young. And Luke, and all three of them, Luke and Matthew and John and Mark, all tell us that he was rich. That's the one detail that they all have in common. So this rich young ruler, he comes running up to Jesus because he's heard about this rabbi who's teaching with wisdom. And he has an important question for Jesus. He kneels before Jesus and he asks him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And there's two very important things that we can learn from this man's question. And the first is this. He absolutely recognizes Jesus as a good teacher, a person who might have some wisdom to dispense to him. He may have even gone out and asked the same question to a bunch of other teachers, a bunch of other rabbis. But he values the input that Jesus has to give him. And the second thing that's evident by this question that the man asks, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" is that he thinks that it's a matter of his own doing. What must I do? In answering that question, Jesus addresses both of these issues. He first says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Of course, Jesus is God, But the truth here is that this man thinks that he's just talking to a wise rabbi. If he knew it was God himself he was addressing, he wouldn't have just been looking for this little tidbit of advice from him as if he was browsing the self-help section at a bookstore. What's good about this man's question, though, is that he does have a genuine concern for his own eternal life. He knows that there's going to be a day of reckoning where one of two options is going to become a reality for him. But he's coming at this all wrong. And Jesus really does need to address the fact that this man believes that there's something that he can do to ensure the preferable one of those two possible outcomes. It's a common thought that people have. I'm sure you've had it, I've had it, and we come by it naturally. That thought that the way to get on God's good side is by how much good we have done. We've got to show ourselves to be better than the bad people. And the way that we do that is by piling up our own good works. And that's all about the law. And since this man asks Jesus a law question, Jesus is going to give him a law answer. You know the commandments, he tells the young man. And then he quotes for him the commandments. He says, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. In essence, what Jesus is saying to this man here is there's no secret special good work that hasn't yet been revealed to you in some way. If you want to gain eternal life by your works, you already know how it is that you can do that. God has already told you. He's told you in the Ten Commandments. And so the implied question here at the end of this by Jesus to this man is, how do you measure up? I've listed the commandments for you. You know them. How do you measure up? How does your life measure up? And the man responds, teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. And there's the problem. And it's not just this man's problem, it's our problem as well. Too many of us think that when we put our own record up against the commandments, that we stack up pretty well. It's a common occurrence for me to ask the confirmation students how many of the commandments they've broken on that particular day. And it's also a common occurrence for at least one of those confirmation students to say that they haven't broken a single one. Now, whether we'd like to admit it or not, we fall into that same camp, don't we? We'd like to think that we're pretty good. We'd like to think that when we stack our lives against those Ten Commandments, that we would come out pretty well. This young man here that Jesus is talking to is probably a pretty good guy. He's a synagogue ruler at a very young age, after all. He's probably a fine young man. And so he thinks that his record stacks up pretty well against the commandments. But even he, in his arrogant belief that he's kept the law, knows that there's something that's still missing. He wouldn't be asking this question about what he needed to do if he actually believed that what he had done had been enough. The reality is that there's this matter of eternal life that's looming ahead, and we need to know how to obtain it. That's what this man is thinking. I need to be sure. Thinking that you've done enough good works isn't going to do it. When you stack yourself up against those commandments, all the commandments are going to do is accuse you And so if this man thinks that he's done enough by not murdering, not stealing, not committing adultery, and so on, now Jesus is going to point out the much bigger problem that this young man has, namely his idolatry. The young man is worshiping a God that is not the one true God. First commandment issues are this man's real problem. And they're often ours as well. The text says, "And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.'" Notice that Jesus looked at the man and loved him. What Jesus is about to say to this man isn't because he's mean. It isn't because he wants this man to be lost forever. It's actually quite the opposite of that. Jesus loves this young man, just as he loves all people. Jesus looks at you and he looks at me today and he loves us. And when he reveals our idols to us, and when he calls us to repentance, he's doing that because he loves us. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to inherit eternal life. He wants to lead us to that treasure that he's won for us in heaven. "You lack one thing," Jesus tells the young man. "Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor." Now, it might sound like Jesus is just giving this man one more commandment. Commandment number 11, "Thou shalt sell everything that you have and give to the poor." One more good work to do in order to inherit eternal life. But that kind of thinking would be to totally misrepresent what Jesus is trying to say here. Jesus isn't prescribing some additional really good work for you to do so that you can earn your way to heaven. In fact, it's just the opposite of that. Jesus is pointing out this young man's idol. And in this man's case, it was his wealth. He couldn't give it up. His money, his possessions, these were his God. That's where he placed his highest value. This was the idolatry that this man needed to repent of. And Jesus calls out that very same idolatry in each and every one of you. It might not be your money. It might not be your possessions. It might be something else completely different. But Jesus will call it out. He knows what's most important to you. And in fact, he wants what's most important to you to be him. Jesus is in fact showing this young man that he is indeed a sinner. If he thought that he could be justified by his outward good works, Jesus shows him that he's still clinging inwardly to an idol, which is to break the very first commandment, "You shall have no other gods." And like that rich young man, we all need to hear that we're sinners. That we're not going to make it on the basis of our own works. That's not the path to the treasure in heaven. And any map to the treasure of eternity that claims that our own good deeds are going to lead us there is one that we just need to tear up and throw away. The problem is, though, without a map, we're also doomed to be lost forever. But there is a way, the only way. And that's why Jesus adds these words. When Jesus says to the young man, "Come, follow me," what he's done is gotten to the heart of this entire account here. "Come, follow me," Jesus says to him. "Come, follow Jesus." This is the way to everlasting life. There is no other. Listen to the voice of Jesus. Follow him in faith. Here is where you're going to find eternal life. Here is how you will have treasure in heaven, through Christ. And Jesus was the one who was able to actually do what he was asking this rich young man to do. He's the one who set aside the riches of heaven and came into the flesh as a servant. He walked the way of the cross to bear our sins and the weight of our idolatry, because we all have false gods of our own making. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." And he did it to suffer the judgment for our sins on the cross. He did this for your sake, that you might become rich, so that you might gain a treasure in heaven. And that treasure is what we know as eternal life. Life with Christ. Life that overcomes death and the grave. Life that rejoices with all the saints in the presence of God. No more sin, no more sorrow. Glorified bodies in a restored creation, singing and praising an unending joy. This is the treasure that Christ has won for you. It's the treasure that's waiting for you in heaven. It's the treasure that's yours to inherit by God's grace. It's a gift that's given to you, and you have the map. Secured by faith and written by God's own hand. Follow him, and he will lead you to the treasure that awaits you. All of those books and those movies that I love, and probably you do too, about seeking treasure, inevitably have a happy ending, don't they? Everyone lives happily ever after. The treasure is found. But that's not the case in today's gospel. It's also not the case with every person either. The rich young man went away that day disheartened and sorrowful. And why? Because he wasn't willing to give up his idol. May that not be the road that you walk. You know that the false god of possessions or any other idol that you might value is a false god, and it can't save you. Rather, today you hear the voice of the one true God who can and does and will save you. Today, Jesus is calling you once again to repentance and to faith. And his is a voice that you can trust. Come, follow me. Jesus is saying to you today, come, follow me. And you will have treasure in heaven. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.